Good morning. It's great to see you all in church this morning for our service of communion. I'll probably have to give some instructions through the service because the two churches do things just slightly differently, and I'll try and remember and explain. But I do get easily confused, so you may have to forgive me. And of course, a welcome to those who are joining us online. And if you're joining in with the communion, this might be an opportunity to get some grape juice and bread for the communion part of the service. But I'm going to hand over now to Rosemary, who's going to take us through some of the intimations.
Thank you, Norman. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Warm welcome to all our friends from Lyme Kilns too. We will be celebrating Holy Communion during our service this morning. The communion table is open to all who love the Lord Jesus. And please stay if you can after worship for teas, coffees and chat. For a communion offering, there will be an additional offering during today's service in support of Lukey House National Respite Centre in North Berwick. And I think that will be done after the first hymn. Church meetings this week. Lyme Kilns Finance Subgroup meets on Tuesday the 17th at 10 a.m. Cairney Hill Kirk session on Wednesday the 18th at 7 p.m. And there's a correction to the Lyme Kilns meeting on Thursday the 19th at 2 p.m. It is the Mission Together group that are meeting, not the worship group. So that might be a relief to some. News to others. Lyme Kilns Community Cinema at Gellett Hall. The Community Cinema will screen The Courier, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, on Tuesday 17th of March at 2 p.m. in the Gellett Hall Lyme Kilns. Tea, coffee and popcorn are available. Entrance by donation. Cairney Hill Sanctuary Cinema. Cairney Hill Church is open on Thursday afternoon until the end of March. The Sanctuary Cinema will screen The Green Book on 19th of March and Casablanca on 26th of March. The films start at 2 p.m, admission is free, and tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. Cairney Hill's Stated Annual Meeting. The Stated Annual Meeting of the Congregation will be held after worship on Sunday the 29th of March. Reports for this meeting should be sent to the session clerks by tomorrow the 16th of March. And with thanks to those who have already submitted the reports. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. Finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at today's order of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. That's a reminder of what I'm doing this afternoon, writing my report for the Stated Annual Meeting. A couple of other things to say. There are two funerals coming up for Lyme Kilns, and that is that Isabel Dixon's funeral is on Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the church. And then, as many of you in Lyme Kilns will know, very sadly, Chick Reedy passed away, and his service is going to be on Thursday the 26th in the church at 1 o'clock. If you need that information, you can always contact me at the manse. But those are two announcements. And please remember those families in your prayers in the week, in this week and the weeks to come. Let's worship Almighty God. I thought it appropriate that we begin with that psalm that is so traditionally associated with communion. And with a full church, it should make a good sound. So we're going to sing hymn 19, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High.
Thank you.
Our communion offering will be taken now. If you're not used to this and you haven't brought money, it doesn't matter. You can always look at Lukey House on the internet if you want to support that place. It is a very important place for those who are less able. It gives much more than respite. It is a genuine holiday that brightens people's lives. So our special offering is going to go to Lukey House, North Berwick. Let's dedicate our offerings. Almighty God, as we gather here in your presence, knowing that we receive from you infinitely more than we can ever offer in return, we pray that you will receive our gifts, our normal giving to the church, and our special gift that will go to Lukey House. We pray that you will bless these gifts as they are used in the work of your church and your kingdom, and for the benefit of all. In Jesus' name, Amen. We worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, you are the source of life and light. You are the one who knows us fully and upholds us gently. You guide us like a shepherd who does not rush us, but walks us through every valley and leads us toward places of rest and renewal. We thank you that you see beyond appearances and call out the goodness which you have planted within us. We praise you for your patience with us, your steadfast love, and for the hope you keep placing before us, even when we lose sight of it ourselves. And yet, when we pause in your presence, we recognize how easily we fall short, for we are easily distracted, we are easily tempted. So we offer before you those things that need your healing touch, that you will take away what is wrong and replace the wrong with right. Lord of light and truth, we confess that we often prefer comfort to honesty, familiar stories to the grace that challenges us. Forgive us when we fail to see our neighbour or turn away from the truths that unsettle us. Awaken in us your spirit as guide and strength, as comfort and the giver of life. Forgive us when we make quick judgments rather than listening carefully, when we cling to what feels safe instead of trusting where you are leading, when we overlook those on the edges or stay silent when love calls us to speak. Open our eyes, gracious God, as you forgive. Help us to see one another as you see us, with compassion, dignity, and hope. Renew us by your mercy, reshape us by your love, and lead us forward in the light of Christ. Amen. If memory serves me correctly, this is the first time we have shared a communion service as a joint service of worship on a Sunday. We've shared a number of joint services down through the years. In 2002, we celebrated the 250th anniversary of worship in Cairney Hill Church Building. Last year, we celebrated 200 years of worship in Limekilns Church Building. And when folk down the road asked what the original Limekilns building was like, my answer was that it was probably much like this building, but without the gallery. When a bigger and better place worship space was needed in Cairney Hill, the gallery was added and new pews and pulpit installed. When a bigger and better place of worship was needed to serve Limekilns, Charleston and Pattismuir, a new building was erected. Interestingly, both congregations began as seceders, those who broke away from the Church of Scotland in the 18th century. But it has to be admitted that the two congregations took a slightly different route when there was a split over a thing called the Burgess Oath. Now, if you want a lesson in church history, speak to me later, but only if you're struggling to sleep. Just to let you know, down the road, burgers, up here, anti-burgers. But from 1820, we have a shared history in terms of denomination. In 1983, the relationship became closer still by our two congregations sharing a minister as we formed a linked charge. And our future is union with the addition of Cowras and Torryburn. In conversation about this service and future services that we're talking about, there was talk of, well, Cairney Hill is hosting and future joint services Limekilns will host. In preparing for this service, my thoughts were very much on combining something of the Lent study booklet with celebrating communion. Very often when we have a communion service, at that part in the service, and you'll hear these words, there is a declaration, this is the Lord's table. I suspect that many of us here grew up with Sunday being referred to as the Lord's Day. And in terms of the church building, certainly as a youngster, and most importantly when I went as a teenager to help clean the church down in Galashiels, I was reminded that it is the Lord's house because I walked out of the house with my portable cassette player and my mother told me that my music was not appropriate for the church. So here we are in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, invited to the Lord's table. We are all here at the invitation of Jesus. We belong because we look to Jesus as Saviour and Lord. The true host in either church building or any church building is Jesus. We are first and foremost Christian people gathered in Christ's name. So it struck me that maybe we got the words wrong. That Cairney Hill is not hosting, and Limekilns will not host in the future. it is actually God's house that we are in. The theme for worship this Sunday, as we follow the studies in Come Follow Me, fits very well with a communion service. The subject is peace. And looking through the communion service, I realized that just before we receive bread and wine, there's that point where I'll say, Jesus, Lamb of God, and you'll say, have mercy on us. We are reminded that Jesus is bearer of our sins, and we say, have mercy on us. And then finally, we say, Jesus, Redeemer of the world, and our words are, give us your peace. The theme for today is peace. What do we mean when we say, give us your peace? What is the peace of God? Rob is going to read for us this morning, first of all, that very familiar psalm, the 23rd psalm, and then a story about Jesus healing a man born blind from John's Gospel. Rob.
The first reading is from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works for him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging him asked, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus came, made some mud, and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
We're going to sing a hymn from Songs of Fellowship. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Thank you.
Whether or not the 23rd Psalm is your favourite psalm, there is no doubt that it is the best known of all the psalms. For many folk, it is best known in its metrical form and sung to the tune Crimond. For a significant and growing number of folk, the version that is much loved is Stuart Townend's version. If we go back into the ancient world, a good leader would often be described as the shepherd of their people. The people understood this as the kind of leadership that provided both protection and the things of life for the people under their authority. In the world of today, we still refer to that imagery when talking about looking after others. Pastoral care is the care of the shepherd. In the church, we think of Jesus as the good shepherd. It is one of the definitions that Jesus used of himself. In times of trouble, the 23rd Psalm is words that many turn to. It is either sung or read at many funerals. People find comfort in times of grief to know that the Lord is my shepherd. The psalm evokes thoughts of peace. Peace with ourselves, peace with God, peace with others. Peace in the troubles of the world. But what do we mean? Our instinct might be to understand peace as green pastures and still waters. These are surely the right paths we can expect if we truly follow the Good Shepherd. Our natural instinct is to expect this to be the reward for truly following Jesus. This expectation comes from a deep-seated understanding that good and right earns reward, balanced, of course, by the equal understanding that evil and wrong earns punishment. The mistake made by Jesus' disciples when we turn to our New Testament reading. How often do we hear people say of themselves or of others, he, she, or me, did not deserve to go through some kind of difficulty? Or equally, we wonder why immoral behaviour of in another is somehow rewarded, or think, if not take pleasure, in the downfall of someone who has embraced wrong or evil in their lives. And we use the word karma, a word that doesn't belong within Christianity. The expectation that the peace of God is fully described by green pastures and still waters is to ignore more than half of the 23rd Psalm. The Psalm tells us about right paths, but immediately goes on to talk about walking through the darkest valley. How many of us have found ourselves closer to God in the dark valley than we do when life is about green pastures and still waters? We must also be careful to remember that the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm leads the sheep. Sheep are not herded through the dark valley, but are led by the shepherd whom they've come to trust and know that, however difficult the path, beyond the dark valley are the green pastures and the still waters. It is an illustration of trust. But we also need to remember that sheep are wayward creatures, not just in today's world, but the sheep that followed the shepherd in Jesus' time could be wayward. Remember, Jesus talked about the lost sheep as much as he talked about himself as the good shepherd. If we go back to the issue of right and wrong, reward and punishment, we find something of this in our New Testament reading. The story of the healing of the blind man begins with this misunderstanding. The story from John's Gospel follows on from a debate between Jesus and the Jewish leaders in the temple at Jerusalem. In that argument, Jesus uses words that identify him with God, and the temple authorities are angry enough to pick up stones and they're ready to stone him. So Jesus and his disciples make their way quietly out of the temple. And it is as they go through the streets of Jerusalem that the disciples notice a blind man. He must have been well known, a well-known figure, one of those who begged for alms from people heading for the temple, mostly pilgrims. It certainly seems that the disciples knew this man as having been blind from birth. Physical ailment or disability was generally believed to be a punishment of some kind for either wrong that the individual had done or something that had come down through the generations. So was it this man or his parents that had sinned that he was born blind? Jesus' answer is to correct his disciples and then to heal the man. Had we read on, this man, now able to see, goes through a number of trials. People struggle to accept that he can now see. The bit of the story we read was about his neighbours. And then, of course, there are those in the temple who call him to account. And they even bring his parents in as witnesses. And they, in fear, say, well, all we know is he was born blind. And then there is the argument between the man and the authorities. And eventually that argument leads to the man being chucked out of the temple as a sinner because they've already decided that Jesus is a sinner and cannot have been done in God's name. Just as Jesus' disciples misunderstand the man's blindness as punishment, so the authorities dismiss the healing because they have already decided who Jesus must be. We do not know what happened to the man after his final meeting with Jesus, where he discovers who it is that has healed him and calls him Lord. It is doubtful his life was peaceful after that, because he was a living challenge to those in authority. But he had a real sense of peace, and there is a real sense of peace in this story about this man finding faith. We may envy people who appear to live with peace and plenty, but the people who really impress are those who have a depth of peace as they go through the dark valley, to go back to the words of the 23rd Psalm. We are very aware that life is not all about green pastures and still waters. Jesus does not promise us that this is what faith will be like. The Christian faith does not promise a life of ease. What we are promised is that Jesus will never leave us, that we will have the Holy Spirit with us, that the peace of God goes beyond all earthly understanding. At a communion service, there is no avoiding the cost of our salvation. We are here because of the road that Jesus took. As we journey through Lent, we will shortly celebrate Palm Sunday, a fortnight from now, and then Easter Sunday in 3 weeks. But we can only go from one to the other by the road that takes us past Good Friday. The peace we long for, the peace we really need, is not an earthly quiet, but a heavenly reality. Not a peace that the world can give, but the deep inner peace that Jesus offers. And to assure us of what he has done and what he gives. He said, when we break bread, remember how he was broken. As we share a cup, to remember that his lifeblood brings us peace. Not the kind of peace that the world might offer, but the peace that goes beyond all earthly understanding. For here at the Lord's table, we have real food for the real journey of faith that we all take. Amen. We offer now our prayers for others. Let us pray. God of compassion and truth, you gather your people as a parent gathers their children, holding us with tenderness and strength. On this Sunday in Lent, when light breaks gently into our journey, we pray for our world, our communities, and all who long for your healing presence. We pray for those whose voices are dismissed, whose stories are doubted, whose lives are shaped by exclusion or fear. Bring light where there is injustice, courage where there is silence, hope where there is weariness. We remember all who feel unseen, those sidelined by poverty, prejudice, or circumstance, those living with illness, disability, or unrelenting pain, those whose struggles are hidden behind closed doors or carried quietly in the heart. May your light reveal the truth of their dignity and surround them with care that restores. We pray for families of every shape and story, for those who rejoice today and those who find Mothering Sunday difficult, those who have lost mothers or children, those who long for relationships that never came to be, those whose homes have not been places of nurture or safety. Gather each one into your compassion. And help your church be a community where all can belong, be honoured, and be upheld. We pray for places where conflict overshadows hope, where leaders cling to power rather than peace, where people are forced to flee homes, futures, and familiar ground. Strengthen the peacemakers and truth tellers. Protect the vulnerable and stir in us a longing for justice that reflects your heart. We pray for your church, for all seeking clarity, courage, and renewed sight. Where we have been slow to recognize your movement, open our eyes. Where we have feared the cost of honesty, give us boldness. Where your love, where our love has grown weary, rekindle your light within us. God our Father, we bring to you the heartfelt prayers of our hearts as we remember the joys and sorrows of those who are very close to us. We take a quiet moment in your presence to open our hearts and minds to you. Loving God, as we continue to walk the pathway to Easter, may your transforming light guide our steps. And may your steadfast mercy sustain us, that we may reflect your grace in all we pray, all we say, all we hope, all we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our communion hymn, number 466, Before the Throne of God Above. Come to the table. We do things mostly the same in the churches, but there is a slight difference here in that there is both alcoholic and non-alcoholic wine, and if I remember rightly, the redder is lesser, the browner is more. And for those who may like to ask, the bread is gluten-free. So that's the differences between the two churches. Apart from that, we do things the same way. This is the Lord's table. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who invites us to share this joyful feast. Come to the table, not because you must, because you may. Come not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness gives you the right, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and want to love him more. Come because Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us follow the example of our Lord in word and action. And as Jesus gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. It is right to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, Creator and Lord of all. For you created all things in heaven and on earth. You gave us the gift of life. You created humanity in your own image and gave us stewardship of the earth. When we and all humanity had fallen, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your love and save us from sin and death. We gather at this table by Jesus' invitation. We gather here knowing your great desire to send your Holy Spirit upon us, that here in this bread and wine is a truth greater than anything of this earth. So we pray that we who eat and drink at this table may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we know the unity of Christ in the bread and wine. And here at this table, a foretaste of eternal joy. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, all honour and glory are yours. And in the words of Jesus, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we have received at our Lord's table. You have given us the true bread of heaven. You have asked us to drink from the cup of promise. Here we are united in worship with your people on earth and your people in heaven. Grant that, strengthened by this fellowship and by the Holy Spirit, we may continue Jesus' work in the world, knowing and sharing the peace of God which passes all understanding. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
we've been using a blessing from this supplement to the hymn book that came out a couple of years ago. So we're going to sing the words, and may the Lord bless you. For people in Cairnehill, the tune is probably a little bit new, so I think we might actually just sing it through twice. So if Cairnehill folk want to listen for the first time and then join in for the second time, that's fine. If you feel confident and want to sing both, then that's great. But we'll sing it through twice. Thanks.
Amen.